Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta, and I am so excited to chat with you guys today and share with you a special interview that I did. I hope everyone is staying indoors and staying safe. I know it's a tough time, and I know there's a lot going on in the news and in the world that's much bigger than TV, so I really appreciate you taking some time to listen to the podcast and maybe get a little distraction from everything happening. This week, we are going to talk a little bit about Everyone Is Doing Great. Now, yes, I talked about it last week, but in the interview, you could hear that Stephen Clutty and James Lafferty, who are dear friends of mine, they, you know, created this series together and really put their heart and soul into it. So the interview was mostly them talking about that process, which was incredible. However, Alexandra Park, who stars in the show as well and is a producer on the show, didn't get too much to say. And I, you know, after the interview, I called her up and said, I want to talk to you solo too. I want to hear your side. So I want to share that interview because I just thought it was really great. And I know a lot of you have reached out and said you've tuned in to Everyone Is Doing Great and are loving it just like I am. I needed some laughter. So it was a nice little escape for me to laugh at the TV for a little while. So without further ado, here is my interview with Alexandra Park. I want to dive in because, as listeners know, we've already covered Everyone Is Doing Great a lot on the podcast over the years, now streaming on Hulu, but Stephen and James have kind of shared so much about their experience, and I feel like we didn't really get to zone in on your experience. So thank you so much for joining. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the show is so different, and I already binged the whole thing in a day, and it had a lot more, I think a lot of people view comedy and think only comedy, and they don't think it's going to be also emotional, which I did not expect to shed a tear or two, so I was happy. The guys have said a lot about their struggles, like of landing roles after doing a big show. And, you know, obviously that's something that you have gone through as well, just kind of struggles of being an actor, but your character doesn't seem to have that struggle. So is that something that you kind of liked, that she was going through something so different than their characters?
For sure. I mean, it was fun to sort of step into that world that Andrea, you know, is lucky enough to be in. It doesn't happen that often for actors to have continued success outside of, you know, from one show straight to the other. I mean, it does happen, but a lot of the time, and particularly in my experience, it's been quite the opposite. So mm-hmm. I think it was, you know, it was fun playing that, you know, that high that Andrea's on, but also kind of investigating her internal struggles as well, being that perhaps she's, you know, she's looking at what's around her, her past being, and obviously her closest friends being Seth and Jeremy, and that she, I don't know, I think she's sort of struggling to keep up, and she's a bit worried it could all go away on a dime, and she's got to sort of keep all of her ducks in a row, and she can't quite believe that it's, that, you know, that this is her life. And I think that's another interesting sort of aspect to look at in the world of being an actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to touch a little bit about your experience kind of as an actor, because I know you've had such an interesting kind of journey, because you were doing a lot of shows in Australia, then moved to the US. So what was that kind of transition like for you? Was it extremely difficult? Was it kind of smooth sailing? What was it like?
I'd say I was very lucky in a way. I mean, every actor's journey is very, very different. And for me, in Australia, it was, I love that you say I worked on a bunch of shows, and I did. I was very lucky with the opportunities that I did get, but they were very kind of sporadic, and never was it kind of a role bigger than a, you know, a couple of episodes on a show. And I was sort of at it for a long time. I think I got my first agent when I was 13, and mum would pick me up and take me to auditions. And I didn't have much luck. It's a lot clickier, the industry at home, obviously being a smaller pool of fish. And so I had a really hard time sort of breaking in Australia, and hence my move to the States, mm-hmm. which was daunting, but Yeah, I guess the transition was unexpected in that I was definitely not prepared for what happened. Being cast in the Royals was, I wasn't planning on that being the case happening so quickly. And I was absolutely blown away by it. But I guess I felt that the industry over here being so big, and there are so many people involved, so many shows being made and films and agents, that it was slightly more inviting, and that there were people out there kind of looking for the unknowns as opposed to familiar faces, which I think is a risk that they're able to take over here, as opposed to in Australia a little bit more.
Right, absolutely. How long after you moved to the States did you get the Royals?
It actually happened pretty quickly. So I came over for my first go of pilot season in January of 2013, and then I went back home empty-handed and very tired and beaten, and saved some money, and then came back again and moved over indefinitely in September of 2013. And I actually was cast in the Royals, I think it was 2 weeks after I got back.
Wow, that's so fast.
Yeah, it was really not expected, believe me. It was very much a whirlwind, and I don't know what I did to deserve that, but it was, I guess, just the time, the right place at the right time. I don't know. I'm not going to ask any questions, to put it that way.
It's funny, a lot of actors I talk to say things like that. Like, a lot of it has turned up to just being like, I went to the right audition one day after going to a lot of the wrong ones. So
exactly. Well, that's the other thing, is I put a self-tape down for my character, Princess Eleanor, in Sydney before I left, and didn't hear anything back. And then went back when I got to LA, and yeah, it was like a second chance. Like, I don't know if anybody saw the first day. You just never know what's going on.
Right. Totally. When it comes to auditioning, do you prefer in person or do you prefer video?
It's funny. I used to prefer in person because I guess there's a sort of nervous energy that I kind of thrive off a little bit. It's kind of almost just enough. But it's the thing about that nervous energy is if it goes a little bit too far, it can not work in my advantage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having been only auditioning on video this past year, obviously, I've actually really enjoyed it and seen the beauty in self-tapes. I think, you know, we get more of a chance, and, you know, if you're lucky enough to have somebody to read with, that just creates a bit of safety in that you're not going in blind with a reader who potentially doesn't know their lines or isn't really too focused on the scene. I think right now I would say definitely prefer self-tapes.
Yeah, definitely. I always find it so interesting because every kind of actor has a different what they like and what they don't like from each. So I always think it's so interesting to see
Because, you know, it's great to meet the casting director, and sometimes in-person auditions are amazing, but it's not always. Sometimes you go in and you're caught off guard, and you think, damn it, I wish I had another go at that. Whereas if you're doing it at home, you can do it as many times as you want without pressure. So there's good and bad to both, I'd say.
Absolutely. The show is a lot about fame and what people view as fame, and, you know, I find it so almost cringeworthy to see, you know, the way that people pretend they know people because they see them on TV and things like that. You've obviously experienced fame through your projects. What is something that you kind of had taken from your experience, especially I would say on the Royals, and then kind of taken it to what you've done in the future and what you've learned about yourself through all of it?
Well, I mean, fame, I always feel, I don't feel weird associating that word with myself because I don't really see that in that way. But I suppose, yeah, I guess when you look at it, the people following you on social media and recognizing you in restaurants and things like that, it is very surreal, and it's very, you know, it's very wonderful to see that you, you know, have had effect on people in shows that you've done. But I think there's the other side to it as well, which I guess that we investigate in Everyone Is Doing Great, which is that it can become a little bit of a bash to the self-confidence because, you know, while you appreciate all the good feedback, we tend to zone in on things that aren't so good and aren't so positive. And that's obviously a part of it, is getting negative feedback and furthermore, you know, nasty things being said and people assuming they know, you know, everything about your personal life and that they can, you know, it can be a little bit tricky. So it's hard to sort of, you know, it's a process in creating a way to just kind of look past that and understand that you've, you know, you've got to walk a fine line with the idea of fame and not let it get to you. Yeah, in both ways, getting your head too big or making you, you know, doubt yourself. It's a little tricky.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not an easy venture. And you kind of mentioned the social media aspect of it, and getting negative comments is something that, you know, as a journalist, I see it a lot on social media with celebrities, whether they're reality stars or A-list stars, it's nonstop feedback of people, you know, commenting whatever they see fit. How do you feel about it in general? Do you like go without reading it, or do you read it and kind of think about, like, how hard is that to deal with?
Well, it depends, really. I mean, I personally don't. I don't have commenting on my Instagram at the moment, just because I guess it is quite, it does affect people. And I think I've seen that become a bit of a trend with people, with actors on TV shows, that they've turned that off, just because it creates a bit of a security in that we're not constantly, you know, worrying about what people might just be openly saying, you know, in a negative sense on things that we went out, you know, hoping that people would be excited about, and it does really affect you. So I think the way to deal with that for me is to try and ignore those comments and be as active as possible with the wonderful fans and supporters that I do have, but in a way that you know, still makes them feel included, but also protects me and my headspace, so that I, you know, I think social media is a really tricky thing, and I've learned a lot about that recently, and not letting it sort of control you, you know, even in the moments when you're not sitting there scrolling through your phone. I find it has a way of seeping into your overall self-confidence and your vibe for the day. So I think it's an ongoing project.
Yeah, there's no guidebook to it. I think it's so difficult.
It's not.
Yeah, definitely. What, throughout your career, and kind of, I know that actors almost have this, you know, a lot of the time they have this idea that maybe they want to venture to different careers, whether it's just moving behind the camera or doing more producing or things like that, which you've obviously got the chance to do some with this show. What is the toughest part of being an actor, being in front of the camera, being in the spotlight through the years for you?
I think the most difficult thing about being an actor is getting work, getting consistent work, and just staying in the game. You can go long stretches where you won't have any auditions for a long time, or you'll have stretches where you'll have a lot of auditions and you won't get any feedback. You won't hear anything. You'll do an amazing tape. I would have thought, you know, like, damn it, that was awesome. I'm so excited. And it's often those ones that you never hear back from, and that can be really, really hard. So that's, for me, the hardest thing about it is just staying in it and just not letting the long stretches of nothing get in the way of your perseverance, because things will come around. You just have to have a lot of patience and a very thick skin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you, obviously, Andrea is a similar character to yourself, but not exactly. Do you feel like she's the most similar to yourself that you've played before, or do you feel like personality wise you've related to other roles you've played more?
I'd say she would be. I mean, I'm really like playing, I haven't played a lot of characters in an Australian accent, which is a huge component of it feeling like me. And yes, I feel like there's a lot of Andrea in me, but then I like to bring a lot of myself to all the characters that I play. But I think, yeah, I'd say Andrea would be the most so far. But then again, not me. Let me just clarify that. Like, we're not the same person.
Yeah, just want to throw that out there.
This is not reality TV.
I obviously want to bring up that your character and James' character are going through this very messy relationship, which is hilarious and cringeworthy at every episode. It's like insane. Since you guys obviously do have a relationship and you're in real life, were you hesitant at all to have that be part of the storyline? Because I know some actors, I recently spoke to Jared Padalecki and his wife, and they're about to star in a show together. And, you know, they talked about being those little bit nervous about being on screen together as well, because it adds another layer to a relationship.
I don't think so. For James and I, we came up with the idea. Mm-hmm. So we thought it would just be great chemistry that's in there. And also, like, we love working together. That's mm-hmm. one of the greatest things one of the things I'm so grateful for about our relationship is that we're able to work together in the things that we love. Mm-hmm. And so we just thought it would be really good fun to play around with the dynamic of Jeremy and Andrea in obviously something that's very opposite to our personal relationship. We work together on everything. So it's very natural for us and really fun, a lot mm-hmm. of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That kind of brings me back to the social media aspect of it all. You guys obviously are very private about your personal life, as you should be. But you did post, you know, your engagement, and then you've posted a few photos together. Do you just kind of run those things by each other to make sure you guys are on the same page with all of that, so you don't, you know, make sure everyone is okay with it?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we are very private by choice, and but you know, we want to get some love out for the show, and we want to, you know, share our lives with our supporters and fans. And so we just kind of, yeah, we kind of walk a line there on just kind of, you know, getting a little bit out there at times, but keeping most of it to ourselves and using the platforms more as a place to talk about our work and mm-hmm. things that we want to share with the world.
Yeah,
absolutely. But we're open to, you know, just little bits and pieces here and there, you know, because he's the only person I hang out with, so I don't have a lot of things to post other than my dog, and I'm getting some, what's the word? People like, you know, you can't just post pictures of your dog all the time, so sunsets, dogs, that's good. You want to stay relevant, right?
This is all I'm around. Well, right now that makes sense. There's not really anything else to do, especially in LA. You shouldn't be going anywhere else anyway. So, well, before we wrap, I don't want to give any spoilers because I know people binge at their own pace. But at the end of season two, things are in an interesting, or at the end of season one, things are in an interesting spot. If you guys get a second season, what do you want to dive into more? Because I feel like we could see a lot more on her end. We haven't seen so much of her maybe at work and maybe her interactions with other people. Is that something you want to dive into more of?
Definitely. We already have some great ideas for our potential season two. And Andrea, I'd like to see more of an exploration of, you know, the girl who's got it, she's got it all, but how does that feel, and what's going on with that? Are you keeping up? Are you having a good time? Are you making time for, you know, the things that really matter in your life while everything is so wonderful on the surface? Mm-hmm. I think that's something that we'll dive into more with Andrea, and possibly some more eternal stuff, and getting the three of them back together, or showing, you know, how the three of them became friends in the first place, and with Izzy and all the other cast as well. So there's a lot more to explore, and I'm really excited. A lot of funny stuff. I don't want to give too much away, but
totally. I understand. Alex, thank you so much for chatting. It's always so nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Emily. It was so lovely talking to you. And thanks so much for being such an amazing support of the show. You have been from day one, and we appreciate it so, so much.
Absolutely. Stay safe, and hopefully I'll see you in person sometime soon.
That would be amazing. You too, Emily. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Everyone Is Doing Great is now streaming on Hulu. All right, guys, as always, we're going to wrap up with a few shout outs, starting with our Woman of the Week. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into politics. I'm not going to get into the fashion. I'm not going to get into anything like that. But I have to give a shout out to Kamala Harris because it's a big moment in the United States that she is becoming the first female vice president. So it is such an incredible thing to see. So that's all I'll say about that. Next up, our woman to watch has to go to Hunter Schafer because the new Euphoria special airs on Sunday night at 9 p.m. This was filmed completely during COVID, and it follows her character post the split from Rue. So I would definitely check that out. She not only stars in the episode, but she also co-wrote it with Sam Levinson. So definitely recommend that. And then for what to watch, a lot of great things are coming back this week. CW obviously has a lot of their shows coming back. Riverdale, Nancy Drew air on Wednesday. Walker and Legacies air on Thursday. Of course, there's also many inauguration specials airing on Wednesday night. So if you are looking to check those out, there are a lot of big stars performing and, you know, a lot of speeches happening. So those are also available to check out. As always, guys, we really appreciate you tuning in. Please let me know how you are feeling, what you are watching, what you're loving, what you're not loving. Reach out to me on social media at Emily Longretta. I would love to hear from you. And I want to know what you guys want to hear more of because that's what I'm here for, to make you all happy. So also, if you are liking the podcast, check out on iTunes, scroll down to the bottom and leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment. I really appreciate it. Wrapping up this week, guys, have a great week and we'll be back next week. Stay safe.